Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Mark Lawrence here, subpar performer, bad co-host Joe McGranahan is here, super co-host.
Bad co-host Joe McGranahan is here.
Oh, no, that didn't work out.
Well, what you said.
I meant to self-describe as...
You meant to say you were bad,
right?
And I was good. Mark bad, Joe good. Write that down, folks. Have it laminated for your wallets.
Hold on a second. I got your resume over here.
No, never mind that.
Head of the Tsunami Task, the Global Tsunami Task Force, CSVT Task Force Chair, PAB Broadcaster of the Year, Pennsylvania Emergency Communications, Superlative Broadcaster. How about that?
That sounds reasonable.
Oh, Superlative.
Retired Broadcaster.
Yeah. Papa, right? That's your favorite title?
No, right. Of all the things I was, that's one I am.
Okay, how about it? It's getting worse. More kids, so
yes.
That's good, which is ideal.
Oh, he's a sweet little guy. Always happy, smiling. I get the biggest smiles from that little baby.
So you got a new grandson?
Yes, Jordan.
And what, 8 months old?
So? No, he's about four, pushing five maybe. Pushing for
months,
right?
Okay, well, fantastic. Then lucky you. Yeah. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us, as four individuals have done, at On the Mark at WKOK. Joe's previewing those messages right now. We're going to read them on the radio. You can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you are not a Text Connect member, we invite you to consider signing up at WKOK.com. It is a way that we notify you when there is breaking news, road closed, tornadic weather, or dead celebrities, and it's an opportunity for us to reach out to you and say, we just put something on the radio and on WKOK.com. You might want to check it out. We don't send you any ads. We don't sell the lists. We only send you, maybe a dozen or fewer messages per month. So it's an opportunity for you to stay in touch with us. And you can use it for two-way communication. You can send us a message via Text Connect as well. So we invite you to do so. When we last spoke,
yes,
I said Tom Marino was missing in action. He wouldn't send us anything, didn't send us anything.
And when I said I was sure he would.
And guess what? 24 hours shortly after the president's remarks, he even came out with some remarks. Now, most of the reaction that we received from Washington came out that night when the president spoke, but I think Tom Marino was listening, and so he sent us a news release, and we could read some of this, right?
Yeah, he said, last night, President Trump demonstrated effective leadership in addressing the nation directly regarding the need to immediately secure our southern border. Illegal drugs, crime, and gangs that continually hurt communities across the U.S. have surged across our southern border and are exacerbating the existing crisis that has endangered Americans and those who have taken the dangerous journey. In fiscal year 18 alone, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol seized a total of 1.7 million pounds of narcotics, and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has apprehended 6,000 gang members, including members of MS-13.
But these guys are at the border checkpoints, not at the unfenced areas, just to be clear here. But
he doesn't
still
say.
Still, it's a major issue. There's
sure.
No argument there.
Well, again, I go back to the, that's how many we know were caught, but how many got in we don't know about? We can't estimate those, can we?
Well, if you think of the number of individuals who are speeding, we catch maybe 1% of them.
Right.
And everybody else goes on their way. So let's suppose on the outset that this is...
Well, I would think it's
60,000 made it in, but 6,000 got stopped.
Right. That could be.
At border checkpoints.
He says, it's apparent to me that most Americans, the construction of a border wall will enhance the security of our nation, and it's needed and overdue. The ongoing shutdown is unnecessary and could be ended immediately before the 115th Congress adjourns. concerned, the House passed a responsible funding bill that would garner the support of the Senate, and the president would sign it today. Led by Speaker Pelosi and Minority Leader Schumer, Democrats who supported funding the border security as recently as the spring of 2018 have now changed their minds, putting their own political well-being ahead of the security of American citizens. Speaker Pelosi could reopen the government immediately if she would put forward realistic proposals that would pass the Senate and receive the president's signature.
Well, I don't know what she was planning on yesterday, but the president said bye-bye and walked, pounded the table and walked out of the meeting.
But still, when I see Chuck Schumer there with his dour facing, the president threw a temper tantrum. He says that all the time. But what they didn't say is what they were willing to do. The president said, if I reopen the government in 30 days, will we have border security? And Nancy Pelosi said,
he said the wall. He said the wall.
Well, I thought he said border security. I heard both quotes, the wall, and I heard border security.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he tied the two together, the wall and border security. I'm not exactly certain about that, but I heard
different sets of remarks.
One network reported as the wall and another as border security. So,
gotcha.
I don't know which is exactly correct, but let's be honest about it. They could end this today. I think the president's choice, realistically, is to declare an emergency and use federal funds that he has available to him. Unfortunately, they're from the military. Don't know that that's a good idea. But at least then they could open up the government, and if he winds up losing in the courts, he could always say, hey, I did everything I could.
To do this at this point, this
right.
is a fight that we have to refight.
Well, now we'll have to refight it somewhere else.
Elsewhere down the road.
Well, and same thing happened with Obamacare.
Right. This is rife for compromise. And this idea of just saying bye-bye and leaving a meeting, you know, but that's the kind of guy he is. Isn't it funny? He wrote a book about making deals, but he's a terrible negotiator.
But Mark, what's there to negotiate? Nancy Pelosi won't put anything on the table.
Well, obviously, there's other negotiations going on. Yeah, and
it's not obvious to me.
Well, they're talking elsewhere.
Where?
I don't know where they do it. I guess in the White House or somewhere. I don't know. CBS talks about the fact that there are some budget negotiations underway that relate to this and other things.
Well, there were some independents, both Republicans and Democrats, who were getting together trying to come up with a solution,
okay.
but I haven't heard any more about that.
I believe the president has somebody on his behalf that's having a conversation about this. Of course, they're probably having the same difficulty, but nonetheless, I believe some other talks are underway. But in any event, yeah, this is ripe for a compromise. And CBS carried a story yesterday. I'm not sure that they wrote it, but they were carrying it yesterday, that some other congressional leaders are going to be in trouble in 2020 if they don't resolve this. They're going to look bad and they won't get reelected, and they're already on the margin. So therefore, they want to resolve this so they don't look like they're part of, you know, okay, let's suppose Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer versus Donald Trump. This could go right. on for 2 years, and they really don't want to negotiate anything, and they just have their heels dug in, and that's that. Well, that doesn't make you look good if you're a fellow Democrat or a fellow Republican in Washington.
No, you're right.
Not willing to negotiate or change a vote, you know, depending upon what you think. That means that if you are a congressman, either party, you're voting to keep the government shut down at this time, or opting to keep the government shut down because of the recalcitrance over this, and that means a lot of your constituents.
Even Cher, who's a well-known liberal, came out and said to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, you're heroes, but give him the money for the wall. Let's get on with this.
Well, that's what I said on Monday. You know, this is a weird phrase to come out of my mouth because I really love a smaller government. It's only $5 billion compared to...
Well, what would it hurt?
What's government spending, $1 trillion or something?
Let's face it, the money, I mean, the government wastes money every day of the year. So we have this amount of money.
At the Congress.
Let's say it's a total waste of money, but we build the wall. And as one of our writers said yesterday, or one of my friends who posted, so the president, it fails, the president owns it, and, you know, that's a good tool to beat him over the head with. You wasted $5 billion on a wall that didn't stop anything. But if it did stop it, if it made the border more secure, you know, wouldn't that be telling you something, too?
AP carried a story today from Hidalgo, Texas, saying rather...
Hidalgo.
Okay, thank you. Like a dog walking down the street. Okay, Hidalgo, Texas. Rather than surrender their land to federal government, some property owners on the Texas border are digging in to fight President Donald Trump's border wall. They are rejecting buyout offers and preparing to battle the administration in court. Trump is scheduled to travel to the border today to make the case for his $5.7 billion wall. Elios Cevesos, who owns lands along the Rio Grande, says she won't sell for any price because it's not about the money. The federal government has started surveying land along the border in Texas and announced plans to start construction next month. Those in the way include property owners who have lived in the valley for generations, environmental groups, and a 19th century chapel.
Well, you know, obviously they'll use that hated, most dreaded of all governmental weapons. Can you think of what it is? Eminent domain.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, yeah, that's been overused lately. Well, it's probably been overused as long as it's been used.
Well, but still, I mean, that's another thing. I think the president could put forward, mile by mile, what he proposes at each point where he thinks something should be done. I don't think a fence or a gate or a wall is necessary at every inch along the way. But I think he should put that out, and I think the Democrats should put out what they would be willing to spend on border security and how they would be willing to spend it.
Joe.
Mike.
That would be reasonable negotiation.
For both of them, yes.
Right. Well,
and
yeah,
instead of them acting like Chuck Schumer and Nancy acting like petulant children and the president acting like a temper tantrum. You know, let's get something resolved.
All right. One listener.
One of our listeners says, Chris touts Pelosi for being such a force to be reckoned with that her daughter said that she said what she said. But some Republicans won't come out against Trump for the same reason. And that's a terrible way for him to run a country. Signed TDS.
Which I think is Trump derangement. No, I think he's identifying
Trump derangement syndrome.
He's saying that they're suffering from that.
Trump derangement syndrome.
That
okay.
Ailment.
I thought it was his initials. And one of our other listeners says, hello, we have 6-foot fences around our house for our dogs we love. And that's what the president said other night. We build a fence not to keep out people we hate, but to protect people we love.
To keep out dogs?
Well, I don't know.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We certainly aren't going to dwell on this all day. Does this relate to the wall?
I believe it does. Denying funding for education, undocumented immigrant children. Yes.
Nope, I guess not. Oh, illegal aliens, yeah.
Yes, it's part of that. Pyler versus Doe was a case in which the Supreme Court of the United States struck down both a state statute denying funding for education to undocumented immigrant children in the United States and a municipal school district's attempt to charge an annual $1,000 tuition fee for each student to compensate for lost state funding. The court found that any state restriction imposed on the rights afforded to children based on their immigration status must be examined under an intermediate scrutiny standard to determine whether it furthers a substantial government interest. Bottom line, this meant all children in the USA are entitled to a free public education.
Whether their parents came over the border illegally or not.
Right, which is what some people have been pointing out, that this is one of the costs illegal immigration has on our system. You know, you have to provide this, and I guess if they are special needs children, you have to provide them an educational plan and do all that stuff and hire assistance. So it's very expensive. But that doesn't mean it isn't wrong. It isn't that it's wrong. I mean, you know, if we come in the right way, I still think we do need a total solution to this problem. How many people do we let in? How many people do we need? I heard a report on your morning show this morning that we're not reproducing enough to keep the population up at its current level.
Right, where our birth rate is way down.
Way down. So we need to let in. If we're going to keep the population stable, we do need to let more people in. Or the other alternative is we need to have more children.
But as you say, we only want to let in prime individuals from around the world, not a bunch of Mexicans.
I didn't say that at all.
Not in those words.
What I said was I think we ought to decide who we need in this country and then have a needs assessment. Do you have the skill we need? We need 55 of this, 127 of that. You got that skill, you're in.
What if I'm coming over the border? I'm a working class dog with no skills.
Well, that's obvious every day to me, but...
Yeah, it's not such a supposition. It's
no,
not
it's
a
not.
Stretch.
No, only kidding. If you have no skills, then you get to the end of the line. And if we wind up letting in all the people we need and we still have more space, then we let you in.
Okay, so that would leave other countries with these massive amounts of no-skilled individuals, but we have just the hybrid.
Everybody has some skill, and everybody can be trained to do something, Mark. Come on, be realistic.
I know. I used to cut grass for a living. I could always fall back on that.
Right. And in my madcap youth, I scraped rust off of pipes in the water filtration plant in the city of Harrisburg.
Ooh, were you wearing a mask?
No, not in those days.
Yeah, they say iron oxide's not good for you to breathe. Now, well, it's too late for you.
All right. Causes, the damage is done.
Causes baldness, so.
All right.
1-800-795-9565. Talking about the budget. Cindy's on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Last caller before a quick break.
Hey, I don't want to rain on your parade, Mark, because you said the federal budget was probably $1 trillion. Think four times as much. Federal budget, $4 trillion a year. $4 trillion a year.
That's crazy.
That's $4 trillion a year.
What's the country's income, or what's the government's income? Probably $1
trillion. $3.6 billion. I'm reading it online, and I'm trying. I've never read numbers so great, so I have to think through how to read them.
Yeah, it's hard.
$3.6 trillion. So we're coming up short $440 billion in what they have requested. Actually, $700 billion in actual revenue. So we're almost $1 trillion short, 3/4 of $1 trillion short every year. But we're spending $4 trillion. And we don't even have $4 trillion. Nor have we. I mean, they've been overspending. You know, part of how they cover this lack of enough revenue is that they use the money that's collected from workers on behalf of Social Security.
Yep. Been doing it for years.
Yes, they have. So while we think there's like a bank account somewhere and they've accumulated those dollars on our behalf, the truth is they have moved all that money into their general spending account. And they use it every year. And that's why people talk about Social Security is underfunded and will go bankrupt. Because there is not the money there. They took from you. They took from me. They took from all the workers. And they use it for other things. They don't save it on our behalf. Which is one of the reasons I support letting people hold their own retirement money. Because then the government can't reach in there and take it out. I remember when, during the financial crisis, President Obama, you'll recall, cut the Social Security tax. He cut how much money was taken out of each person's paycheck for a period of time, I don't know, maybe a year and a half, in order to boost the money in their pockets. Of course, that reduced the amount of money they contributed to the Social Security fund. And this caused the senator, Max Baucus, who was in charge of spending in the federal government, great angst, because he said it was going to short the money they had to spend by hundreds of billions of dollars, which is true. Of course, shortly thereafter, he stepped down and President Obama made him the ambassador to China, I believe. So,
which is not the banishment it sounds like.
Got him as far away from here as he could.
Well, that's where he wanted to go. He wasn't banished. He chose to go there. He wanted that position.
Mm-hmm.
So, the truth is that we have been, our government has been, grossly overspending by nearly $1 trillion every year what we have in the bank. And in that money they have in the bank includes pillaging everyone's retirement account that they, in trust, have held on our behalf. See, and that's where I lose faith with government, because they should never have done that.
But the worst part...
They said, hey, listen, Cindy, I'm going to hold this money for you, and when you retire, I'm going to give it back to you, even with a little interest.
But
and the
worst part of it, Cindy...
They said, well, she's not using it now. I'm going to empty that account. And that's what they've done.
The worst part of it is that a large part of that, those trillions of dollars, goes on debt service for money they've already stolen from us and borrowed and... Done
right,
nothing useful with.
They have to pay this back. They've borrowed all this money from China to cover up the fact that they're overspending. And now they have to pay them back. Just like when we have a mortgage, if you borrow a mortgage, you have to pay the bank, right?
Right.
So they keep paying China back. So you're right, Joe. A substantial portion of the money every year, just like when Governor Rendell was running Pennsylvania, he took out massive debt. And he said this was good. I'll never forget, he had... You know, his budget secretary down there going, oh, this is good. We can run up this massive debt. And they did. So that now $700 million of tax dollars every year here in Pennsylvania goes to pay the debt. It doesn't feed hungry children, doesn't fund schools, doesn't fix roads.
Pays
it
for
only
yesterday's
goes to
bills.
Pay the debt for the splurging that went on when Governor Rendell was in office. And what do I call splurging? Building a library in memorial to his friend Arlen Specter. Building the security building there in Johnstown in honoring John Murtha.
Okay, Cindy.
And there's just an endless list of this.
Joe and Cindy, have we ever had a fiscally responsible president?
No, years ago. Yeah, we actually balanced the budget a couple of times.
Right.
But when was the last time? Eisenhower, wasn't it? Last time we had
this
a budget surplus?
Back, Mark.
Well, Clinton had a balanced budget.
The other day there was a gentleman who called in and he was calling me names. And he was angry, saying that I endorsed presidential lying, saying I thought it was okay, which I never said. I simply said, recounted many examples of the fact that this is what they do. Because I think citizens in general don't get this. They really don't know that I certainly didn't until my 50s and 60s realize the government was stealing all the money out of Social Security. Now, they don't use that word for it, but they are. They put up this policy so that they didn't have to raise taxes and continue to spend like there's no tomorrow. Billions of dollars here, billions of dollars there, and they. What did that guy say? Was it Proxmire? Eventually, this adds up. You know, that's exactly right, and that's exactly what's happened. You know, we spent billions of dollars to build power plants in Afghanistan, which the government there promptly shut down because they didn't want the power plants and don't want to pay for the fuel to run them. But our government had no problem frittering away $3 billion to do that. And to her credit, Claire McCaskill, who was the chairman of a committee overseeing this, she raised Cain about it. But did anybody stop them or change? No, because we've got money to burn, apparently.
All right,
Your money.
We got to hit the
Thank
road.
You.
Thank you so much, Cindy. I really appreciate the call. Thanks for being such a great guest all the time. We are going to take a quickie break, and when we return, we got a caller standing by to talk about debt. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Just for the record, it was Everett Dirksen who said a billion here, a billion there, and pretty soon it runs into money.
All right. Thanks for looking that up. Very much appreciated. We want to talk to you about the Sunbury Motor Company. They are nice people. That's the bottom line.
Friendly people.
We keep talking about all of these
nasty people in
vehicles
Washington.
Nasty people in Washington, vehicles and
you want to be treated like that
so
at Sunbury Motor Company?
Absolutely not. You see folks like Mike DeFeo. Go ahead and buy a truck from him because he's an honest guy. He's over at the Sunbury Motor Company on North 4th Street, or go over to the Routes 11 and 15 location, the Kia dealership. That's where Ernie and Austin and others are standing by. They got a big staff there. These are just the only two that I know. Do as I've done. Just stop by to marvel at the Kias, the new ones that are out, or go over and look at the Hyundais or the Lincolns and Fords and talk to the wonderful people there. They would just love to have a conversation. That way you have an informed opinion when it's time for you to buy a vehicle, maybe a pre-owned vehicle. They know all about, got Carfax and everything on the vehicles that are there.
And the Keeler dealership would appreciate it if you no longer stop by to marvel at their vehicles. You're creeping out the other customers.
Oh, okay. No, you're not. You're allowed to look in advance, especially on Sunday.
Well, they're asking to stop.
Oh, me personally. Yes, that's true. Yes. Ernie asked that you no longer stop by and stare at the Sprint cars that they have there, please. All right. But yeah, they got a lot of great vehicles at both locations. locations and wonderful people. That's what we're trying to emphasize. Yep. It says you get super treatment. And guess what? These people are the folks in your town. They're on the church councils. They're firefighters. They're volunteers. Some of them are in the National Guard. Of course, there's hundreds of employees of the Sunbury Motor Company. So they run the gamut of activity that they got going on after work. And they would just love to take good care of you. Some of them are fabulous musicians. So I know that to be true. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the number that Dale dialed. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I just wanted to spring off what Cindy was talking about. I think March 1st is when we reached the ceiling of our debt. And I don't know if they're going to make the ceiling higher or what their plan is. It's just that our government is very, very aggressive on controlling our media today. And they will not tell everybody that the Russians are using the U.S. dollar to purchase gold in order to back their ruby to do business with China. And they will not, our media will not talk about that. And it's funny how they're talking about building the wall. So we got to be careful. Like I said, all the red tape going to our IRA now, it's turning into Social Security. So this is crunch time, I think, March 1st. So I think we should all be aware of that.
Okay, thanks, Dale.
Boy, that really...
And
that
incidentally, the national debt
sums it up nicely.
$21 trillion. I was wrong. $21 trillion.
Fantastic. All right. Well, and President Trump isn't doing anything to help that either. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. Believe it or don't, it's 2019. We're plodding through the second week of 2019. It is the 10th day of 2019. It makes it a Thursday. Rob Center is our fabulous producer. I didn't give him enough credit in the first third of the show, but he's doing a super job over there.
You gave him enough.
Says Joe.
Only kidding, Rob.
Joe's mic gets turned off suddenly.
Right.
But no, he does a great job. Call screening, logically discussing with the guests with their prospects of getting on in a timely fashion because Mark and Joe are yakking about something else. But we always appreciate that. And he does the archives when I'm on my day off, and he handles Sunrise very deftly. So we very much appreciate Rob Center's presence in our lives. So thank you, sir. Really appreciate it. Super-duper Eagles fan. He's getting ready for the divisional playoffs. He'll be monitoring the Eagle 107 broadcast, our sister station, and I'll be on monitoring the Westwood One broadcast here on WKOK. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Some news headlines. State Representative Fred Keller outlined his legislative priorities during a recent address to the League of Women Voters of the Lewisburg area. He said number one will be the opioid crisis. First of all, they're going to hold some fora. These will be roundtables that will be held within the legislative district, and some could be in schools, but they got to work to set them up first.
We're scheduled to have this done within probably the next 4 months. We're looking to include the school districts at the schools and also after school hours for the general public.
And Fred Keller, 85th District, says another priority will be looking to ways to change how the medical community treats pain and looks at alternatives for long-term pain management.
So we need to look at different ways they can manage it. And some of the things like chiropractic and acupuncture and some of those items maybe aren't covered under insurance, and we maybe need to see what we can do to encourage insurance companies to cover those kind of alternative treatments rather than going right to a pain med.
And he says other priorities for the upcoming session include improving education, job readiness, addressing school safety, and wage reform. He says working together with Governor Tom Wolf on a fair budget will remain a part of his agenda as well. School board members in a Schuylkill County district have voted to postpone their sound, wise policy allowing teachers to carry guns in school. On a 2-1 vote Tuesday evening, the Tamaqua School Board Security Committee says it will suspend the implementation of the policy pending a court hearing on its validity. Both teachers and parents have filed lawsuits against the district, claiming it violates state law and poses a danger to the community. The district serves more than 2,100 students and is believed to be the first school system in the state to let teachers carry weapons. These would be highly qualified, trained teachers who decide or volunteer to participate in the program. The policy approved in September says teachers and other employees can carry concealed district-issued guns after training. The full board will vote on the policy January 15th. A Southern California prosecutor who posted crude and profane insults about U.S. Representative Maxine Waters, Michelle Obama, and others to social media, he has resigned. A San Bernardino County spokeswoman says the San Bernardino Sun is reporting that Michael Selem voluntarily resigned January 2nd. The county gang prosecutor was suspended in July after revelations that he had made crudely offensive online remarks about Waters, Obama, and Mexican immigrants, and a victim of a police shooting. Civil rights leaders demanded Salem's ouster, questioning whether he could be objective when dealing with black and Latino defendants. Newly seated DA Jason Anderson has told civil rights leaders that there's no place for prejudice in his office. And are you wondering if somebody... Are you okay, buddy?
No. Can you imagine if there was a place for prejudice in someone's office? This is our office of prejudice. It's over here. Well, obviously, there's no place for prejudice.
They would not get their own office. They just get their own desk.
Oh, okay.
This is the prejudice desk. Don't prejudge. But it's a terrible desk. As soon as you sit there, it's awful. So you might not even go. All right. Finally, wondering if someone is suffering from an overdose. There's an app for that. It's still in the experimental stage, but the Second Chance app is showing promise. Researchers say it appears to be able to detect the early signs of an overdose in the critical minutes after a person takes heroin or other illegal drugs. The app beams sound waves to measure breathing and can summon help if it detects a person has stopped breathing. One issue to tackle whether drug users would take out their phone and fire up the app before shooting up. Despite that concern, researchers from the University of Washington say the app could be an important tool to those who haven't been able to obtain addiction treatment. Well, I think what they got to do is get this via Bluetooth hooked up with the smartwatch. That way you don't have to start the app. It'd just always be running in the background, although it'd be a pretty good battery consumer, I would think, constantly monitoring your breathing and so on.
I would think, and probably slowing down other things on your phone at the same
time. Yeah, that would crash your phone.
Here's a thought. Yeah. Don't take the drugs.
What? All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That is the hotline to get on the radio. That's what Chris dialed. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning. You know, Trump, before his speech, they put out a thing on the fundraise, but it was rather deceptive. You were asked to contribute $5 or up to 15 and more to the official Secure the Border Fund. Now, if you were giving to an official Secure the Border Fund, what do you think that would be for?
To reelect the president?
Exactly. It says the money in the fine print later on, it tells you that the money's going to his reelection fund, which he started about 6 months after he was elected the first time, I believe.
And there's no fundraising effort on the Democrat side to use the border wall and this impasse as a fundraiser? I think there is.
There's using it, and there's deceptively using it, too, isn't there?
On both sides.
Yeah, well, you can look at the... I'll let you look up the Democratic thing, and you can tell me whether they were... what was deceptive about their ad then, okay?
All right.
Okay.
And what's going on here is it's an election ploy. It's a re-election ploy. It's an issue for him. It's to secure his base to keep him safe from impeachment. It's not even clear that Trump really wants the wall.
Well, that
he wants the idea of the wall, which I, like I said, was imaginary, because we haven't really found out any details about where or why it's going in and why it would be effective there, as opposed to other methods involving more traditional fencing methods.
No, there I agree with you.
And he hasn't said it, and you're talking about Pelosi hasn't moved. Well, she moved the first time. There was a $1.3 billion for border security that passed, and then they raised it to 1.6 in order to get funding for the government through February.
Okay.
And Trump and the Republicans agreed to that, and then Trump reneged. So don't say they don't want border security. They haven't put in an amount yet, because they've already passed the Republican bill asking for 1.6. The Democrats, that went voice votes in both houses.
Chris,
only about three or four people dissenting in either house.
Chris, sometimes people say Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer wanted a wall at times and voted for it in the past, but now
that
they don't.
Fencing.
Okay, yeah, please go ahead.
And it was put up 723 miles or something like that. And they put up a wall where it was needed. Now, from what I understand, there is an area where the wall needs to be replaced because it's old and not in the condition to do what it was supposed to do. And that wouldn't be a bad idea to replace that. And there's also, I did look up a guy, what was his name, Morgan or something?
Right.
The
head of the
former
border security for
Obama
Trump.
Obama security guy.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was talking about was that
the
they
wall.
Needed money for a barrier, which he variously described, it might be fencing, and might be wall, and might be other things. But it seems to me that if you're really worried about the drugs, then what you really want to do is find a way to keep the ports of entry more secure, because that's what's going on, because that's where it is. But Trump hasn't been clear that he's asking any money for that. And this $5 billion, that's not going to do the whole wall he's talking about.
True enough. But you asked
me
a question.
And he's going to come back for more.
The Democratic
campaign. And more and more. And if you let him win it by shutting down the government, what do you think he's going to do the next time?
Well, you asked me a question about the looking up the Democrats' misstatements. And I found one. The DCC email sent out before the president's speech called for a massive surge of opposition before Trump takes the stage, so Republicans don't think America supports Trump's despicable shutdown and abhorrent border wall. It includes a pitch for readers to donate money to Democrats. So what's despicable and what's abhorrent?
Well,
border security is abhorrent
to
the Democrats. Border security is abhorrent to the Democrats?
No, shutting down the government.
No, it says abhorrent border wall. That's border security.
You read both of them.
It's the same sentence.
Shutting down the government and border wall.
Trump's despicable shutdown and abhorrent border wall.
Yeah, well, it's abhorrent. It's not effective, and it's a waste of money.
But you don't know that. Other people are saying it is. Israel says it's very effective.
Well, in Israel's case, it's effective in the sense of keeping some trouble out, but in terms of long-term trouble it's causing, you might say it's totally ineffective.
Well, with a $21 trillion deficit in this country, $5 billion seems like a drop in the bucket, and if the president's wrong, you can beat him over the head with it. But what if he's right?
There's no way to actually prove that he's wrong, just like there isn't going to be a way to prove it's right. If it goes down, well, it was everything's going down already.
But he was elected by the American people, and I think
so was the House, which just ran the opposite. Which brings me to the point that why didn't he do anything for 2 years when the Republicans were in charge?
That is a good point.
It
I used to make.
pass.
But you didn't like that argument when I used to make it about Obama and the Democrats having control of the House and Senate for the first 2 years.
But not because it wouldn't pass. This is because it wouldn't pass.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it would pass.
Well, then why didn't he do it?
Well, because they had other priorities.
He waited until people got elected. He lost the House. Re-election becomes a worry, and he can shut down the government on the Democrats because of Nancy Pelosi instead of blaming it on Republicans.
All right, we got you, sir. Thank you
so
much.
Pretty clear, isn't it?
So says you.
I appreciate you.
Use your logical mind. Yeah, use your mind. Your caveman.
No, I got rid of that years ago. I prefer my caveman mind.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate you.
They don't call
great
me
observations.
Neanderthal for nothing.
1-800-795-9565. I'm Mark Lawrence. Caveman Joe's across from me. He's doing a super job. Doing a great job.
Fire.
Yeah,
Geico. Start fire.
Geico started using their caveman ads again. I saw that. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and August, September, October, November, December. Those are the months of the year. What's with making resolutions, whatever they're called, only at the beginning of the year? Grandmom says there are 12 whole months to make changes and that everyone should start simple. She told her friends at her yoga class how simple it is to get their prescription switched to our hometown pharmacy. Then they won't waste hours waiting in line. There's a good revolution. Don't waste time.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today. Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Did I say revolution? I meant to say resolution. Oh, you heard what I meant to say. I wonder if any of my friends made resolutions. And what's with old Lang Syne? This kid wants some new Lang Syne.
You don't wear a wedding ring?
I don't wear jewelry. Do you wear jewelry?
Of course. I have an earring and I have a ring.
Oh, that's right. You do have... Why do you have
an
earring?
And I have a watch.
Why do you have an earring? Well, I have a watch. Why do you have an earring?
It's just pirate wear.
Arr, and you're a caveman and a pirate. What a group we have doing this show.
I'm not a caveman. You are.
No, I said a caveman and a pirate. What a group doing this show.
Okay, thank you. All right, 1-800-795-9565. That silly question, why doesn't Joe wear a wedding ring, is clear when
you read
this.
Well, I've been married for 53 years, so I think we're kind of...
Well, I didn't say it wasn't obvious. You're quite tethered. There's no argument about that. Email, please.
Good morning. I think it's about time everyone calls their Republican senator and demand that Trump open the government. I believe Trump was offered $1.6 million, no, it's billion, and he said no. He just don't get what we Democrats do not want, that inhumane wall. Drugs are made in the back of vans here in America. They use Drano and diesel fuel to make meth. Sounds like we don't have to go to Mexico for that. I don't think I saw his wedding ring on during his speech. Doesn't he wear one? Signed, Bob. And you looked that up, and he doesn't. According to somebody.
Right. Melania wears a 13-carat diamond, but he doesn't wear a wedding ring at all.
If I was lucky enough to own a 13-carat diamond, I might wear it, too.
Let's see. Drugs are made in the back of vans. Well, that's just one drug, but there are drugs that do come over our borders and from all kinds of borders. The heroin comes from overseas and from Mexico, and so does marijuana.
Probably it took too long. We had Barry from Tremont calling in, and he must have given up. So, Barry, call back.
Please call back. Sorry about that. And that's my foolish reading the emails first. Calls come first, which means Paul goes right on the air, buddy. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to give you a question that does have an answer. And
what?
That is, what power does the people have if the people are the government?
Well, all right, you've supplied a question that we can answer, but you framed it in a way that makes it impossible to understand point is.
Yeah, people have all kinds of power. We can redress government. We have the right to bear arms.
We are the government.
We got
the
a lot of
are
stuff going on.
This is a republic. It is a republican form of government, and that's the way that works in a republic.
Right. You can tell Tom Marino that you're in charge.
Give to Trump what is Trump's, but give to the people what is theirs.
Well, our U.S. government certainly doesn't do that.
You must be reading the Bible again, Paul. You're paraphrasing.
Well, that was, something that was said to Caesar.
No, it was said to Pontius Pilate or somebody, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, unto God what is God's.
Right.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good questions again.
Well,
Stan, you're on the mark.
Good morning. Could somebody tell me how a wall is inhumane?
Or immoral, for that matter. Yeah, I agree.
It's inhumane because if you are coming from Mexico and you're really running,
you might run into
you run into it. You sustain a head injury.
But it will. It would stop them, which is the whole point of it.
Right. Yeah, I don't think inhumane is precisely the adjective I would word. Ineffective comes to mind.
Nancy Pelosi's called it immoral. I don't know that it's immoral either.
Yeah, I didn't know walls had, a soul or anything like that to be moral or immoral. But anyways, my thinking is, if a wall doesn't work, as the Democrats say and a bunch of other leftist liberals, but anyways, if a wall doesn't work and you want to make Trump look bad, let him build it. And then when it doesn't work, you got something to say, hey, didn't work, now you're out of here. But they know it will work, so that's why they don't want it to be.
Well, and I think Chris mentioned that it is hard to, it's going to be hard to say whether the wall is really effective, because all of the immigration trends and smuggling, all this stuff is already going down from Central America, but it's still an issue. I'm not saying that, it's a dilemma. Plus, if you're thwarting terrorists, if only temporarily, and they have to come other way, well, then how will you prove that? We are capable of arresting some at regular border points at other places, or most terrorists cross from Canada, so this idea that we're going to stop terrorists if we erect the wall, that's silly. But yes, it will thwart. Somebody's going to be thwarted by it. That's certainly a possibility. I don't know. You and I are kind of in agreement on this. I think, why not just do it? Because it's only look at the cost of this fight.
Why do they come in from Canada? Because border security there is rather lax. We get along well with the Canadians, and they are a country like we are, democratically or a republic, so it's a different form of government, but still it's very similar to ours.
What's to prevent
numbers coming across from Canada are way, way lower than what's coming across from the southern border.
Yeah. You mean in terms of people who are crossing and not...
I mean, the numbers are way lower.
Yeah.
So, a wall in Canada? Sure, why not? I'll go for one on both sides, and then we won't have to worry about that kind of stuff. But, it is what it is, and they're going to do what they're going to do. I want the wall built because it needs to be. You need to do something. There's videos on with the Border Patrol running along some of the fencing and stuff that's down the southern border. It's a joke. A five-year-old could get through without any issue. So what's going to stop the drug cartels, the coyotes bringing the illegals in and all that coming through when all it is it looks like sawhorses set up along the freaking highway to stop traffic when they want to do some work is what some of it looks like.
Well, what would solve this?
Areas, if
a Democratic president proposed this as a public works project, it would probably receive universal endorsement. It'd be putting people back to work, creating jobs.
Great. There's a lot of people on welfare sitting on their butts that are able-bodied that could go down there and help build the wall.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with that. If they're going to collect our tax dollars, make them work for it. Where's the problem? During the 30s, we had all that with the CCC camps and all that. People had pride in their work. They learned a skill, and they were able to live because they weren't starving to death because they didn't have any money.
Be the CCC.
Why can't we do that now?
Yeah, well, be a good way to get some people back on the rolls, give them a chance to earn their citizenship.
Yeah, and something would actually happen. Some of the CCC stuff that was built is still being used across the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stuff.
It was well built.
Yep, the wall in Sunbury is still there.
Hoover Dam's still there.
Is it?
Right, that's right.
All right.
And so, yeah. And Tamaqua. My question, they're suing the teachers and some citizens are suing, the school district because they say it's dangerous to the community. And what was their other reason for it? It's against state law. Well, that it might be technically, I guess, but the school district is a government. But anyways, Why is it a danger to the community? If the teachers are considered good enough to teach the children and be around the children, why aren't they good enough to be able to protect the children if it should come to that?
If they're trained, right. Good question, Stan. Yeah, this will be a long time playing out. The district will probably stand down before it's resolved because they'll run out of money that they want to spend on it.
Yeah, they'll run out of money.
Right. Well, yeah, at some point they're going to say, you know, we could build a wall around the school and be safer. So
there you go. Well, they can do that, too.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Thank you, Stan. Take care.
Thanks.
Yeah, right. That was the NRA's vision for school safety, was make sure schools have sound security perimeters. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Mike, please, we're doing a finding of fact about terrorists at the border. You know something, please tell us. Mike.
Hello.
Girl.
Are you talking to Mike?
Yep-er.
Wow, what do you know?
It's a miracle.
Yeah, I guess, did anybody see Chris Wallace hammer Sanders on Sunday about lying about 4,000 terrorists?
I did, yes.
All but two or seven came here through the airports, had nothing to do with the southern border.
Did we play that on the air?
We did.
Okay.
And the drug thing, I saw an interview with a representative from California, San Diego area, who was saying that there's twice as many drugs interdicted by the Coast Guard on the ocean than there are at the border. And Trump's original budget, his idea was to cut $10 to $15 billion from the budget of the Coast Guard, which was luckily turned around by Congress. But conversely, now the Coast Guard, who is interdicting twice as many drugs as the Border Patrol, are not being paid. So if Trump's gonna make an argument for this wall, why does he insist on bringing out these things that are absolute lies to try to defend it, instead of telling the truth about it?
I don't know. He lies all the time. It's part of his shtick, is to make up facts.
Oh, his shtick. So we're gonna make nationwide policy based on shtick?
Well, he got elected. This is our fate. If you elect a shticker, that's what you get.
Yeah, well, that's just wonderful,
well,
you know.
It's not a good plan.
I mean, I really don't understand this.
Well, you know, it depends. The statistics, what was that old expression? There are lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody looks at numbers a certain way, and they use numbers or statistics to prove their point.
4,000 people through the airport, it was either two or seven come across the southern border. Now, come on.
Well, he was talking about we don't know what's coming across the southern border that gets in without us catching it. So, I mean, it's easy to say.
Yeah, same as with the drugs, because the drugs, drug runners don't climb walls. The drugs come in trucks at the regular border crossing. They don't.
And you don't think any of them come across
drugs over some fence or wall to bring that large a quantity of drugs in the United States? You know that.
You don't think so? What about tunnels under the wall that exist already? They're coming in that way.
Too. I mean, you know, that one tunnel was 100 feet deep and two lanes wide.
All right, but if it's so easy to get it in through the border, why would they dig a tunnel?
Well, that's why it's so easy to get through the... It just goes to show that the wall doesn't going to do you any good, isn't it?
Oh, no, it would, because the wall's going to go down. It's not just going up, it's going down.
Okay, whatever you say. Don't you ever get tired of defending the Trumpsters?
I'm not defending President...
Doesn't that just wear you out, all this weird...
He used to have a full head of hair.
...conspiracy theories, man?
I don't have any conspiracy theories. I'm just saying I don't have any conspiracy theories, and I don't defend President Trump personally, but I think the border wall and border security is a serious topic, and I think that that's one possible solution. I don't hear the Democrats offering anything in rebuttal. Any concrete proposal.
Let's talk to the Chinese about how well the Great Wall of China worked for them.
All right, talk to the Israelis about how well their wall's working for them.
Israel's a postage stamp-sized country. You're talking about the United States of America. You're talking about 2,000
miles
of border wall.
We're talking.
You can't even compare.
8,000 miles.
The question is whether or not it works, and in Israel it works.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike.
Okay.
Appreciate the call.
Hey, keep on defending, man. You're going to defend it till you pass out.
You keep calling back and set me straight. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
1-800-795-9565. I got a caller standing by. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. Joe, thanks for calling in to talk to Joe and Mark. You're on the mark.
Okay, a little while ago, Mark, you mentioned about the Canadian border, about coming across the Canadian border. I just see that as a whole different subject, because I look at it, and I'm not a world traveler or anything, but the Canadians on their border, I think, are a lot stricter with the people that come in. So let's just say that's like an outer border for our northern border. The people in Canada are monitored, but the people from the south that come across the Mexican border at the southern end, they're undocumented. We don't know who they are. As if we, and I think at the caravan, the Mexicans tried to stop that massive amount, you know, that surge of people at one time, and they were overrun. Now, if we could stop and check the people in the southern border and see, you know, screen them there if they're seeking asylum or, you know, benefits, jobs, whatever, it would be different. So I think the northern border, although people have come in, it's well documented that terrorists have come across the northern border, but it's a whole different situation, don't you think?
Well, and I think much of the Canadian border is unprotected at all. You know,
right. Well, we have an outer border with the shores of Canada. The people that come in through Canada are already screened, and they're kind of monitored. You know, they're not letting people across like Mexico lets people come right through. Canada has a pretty strict entrance. I'm pretty sure when you drive from the United States, there's a lot, or if you come in by plane or whichever way you come into Canada. So the people in, what I'm trying to say, I think are a little bit more monitored in Canada.
Well, I think you're monitored if you come to the U.S., right? I mean, through
right.
an airport.
I'm saying
or
the people that come across the southern border, we don't know who they are.
Well, you don't
and
need
that's
a
part of the whole situation of a wall, or if you want to try to funnel them towards one area where we could, you know, monitor them. But the people that come across Mexico's southern border undocumented, and they come across freely, and they come to our southern border, and then they, if there's nothing there to stop them, they just come into the United States. But Canada has already processed them, so we have kind of an outer border.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I'm not certain anymore. I know years ago you didn't need a passport to go to Canada. Do you now?
Yes.
I believe you do. And yes, I haven't been to Canada probably in over a decade.
Yeah, but since 9/11.
Since 9/11. Okay.
Right. I thought that too. That yes, and that's what I'm saying is the people, the Canadian government knows who the people are in Canada. But the people in Mexico, the government of Mexico, does not know those people. They, just until this caravan, it was pretty much an open border on the south as long as they were going through to the United States. And that's part of, if we could block the southern border, if the, you know, the, I mean, it wouldn't be right, but have, you know, our U.S. government down there to block the southern border, which is very small, the southern border of Mexico, then, you know, we could screen those people down there and all that, and they wouldn't just walk freely through. So I'm just trying to, you know, explain the difference that we already kind of have an outer border
with Canada's border.
It's a good buffer.
Yeah.
All right, we got you,
Joe. Good point, Joe.
Thank you
a lot.
So much.
Appreciate
that. How about the text, and then we'll get the call?
The text says, so there are no drugs coming across the southern border? I guess the anti-Trumpers don't care about that because there's more coming by sea. Here's an idea. How about we do everything we can to stop it all?
Stop all of it. All right, Bob, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I was just thinking, if we wanted to fund this alleged fake crisis at the border, why don't we take the money from the biggest fake crisis that we have, that's man-made global warming, and transfer it to the fight against the border?
I think the president's already, in fact, doing that. He didn't call it that, but he's already defunding things that relate to climate change and is obviously, as we're discussing, interested in increasing funding for border security. So I think that may be happening.
Well, that'd be wonderful then. I'd be all for that.
Okay. We got you. All right. Thank you so much.
Wait a second.
Oh, go ahead.
You don't see any need for this at all? No, I guess he's gone.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well.
With one short point. Dale, you're on the mark. Last caller before a quickie break. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I just say 6 months ago, our government was crying about not enough low-skilled workers. All of a sudden, they're saying we're going to build a wall. So what does that do? That makes people want to come here, correct? So what if Mexico said that they'll build the wall? Now, would Americans be eager to go over there and see, think they're missing out on something? So I just think it's a psychological thing. And I last night on CNN, where they are crossing the border by the river in tons, and they're just being allowed to come over. So I think it's all ploy, and it just creates an argument. So I just think within the next 3 days, we're going to resolve this. I think we're going to have enough workers over there.
3 days. So because
they're coming in. There's like about, I think, 3,000 people coming over a day through the river, and they ain't being stopped. So I just think it's a psychological thing to draw those skilled workers here, because we tell them we're closing the doors. Everybody got to get in before we close. So I think that's just part of it.
All right, we got you, Dale. Thank you so much. Thanks for checking in. Very much appreciated. All right, we've got 4 emails pending. That's an inordinate number of emails. So let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll start to sift through these emails. Joe will pick which ones he wishes to read first, then the next one, then the next one, and then the next one. All right?
I'll probably start at the top and go around.
All right, on the marks.
Or maybe I'll start at the bottom and go up.
Well, that's the thing. You can.
Maybe I'll start on the left and go right.
Do whatever you want. 1-800-795-9565. Is not just a series of random digits. It's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. It is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. They offer personalized service on a first-name basis. That's why you'll see Terry out at Shade Mountain, Tyler at Trotz, Steve at Norrie, Kathy at Danville, Jennifer at Bloomsburg, and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. They are the owners and or head pharmacists at those wonderful facilities, and they would just love to talk to you about their knowledge, which is extensive, and they all have a great history of taking good care of customers for years. And some of them got drug take-back services. Some of them deliver drugs to you. So if you're in the workplace, for example, Danville Pharmacy, and you just can't get out of the office, well, they'll bring it to your office and make sure that you're good to go there, and they would just love to take care of it. And remember, every time you buy locally, every dollar spent locally rattles around in the community 10 times over before somebody in a big box sends it to China. So avoid that. Shop at a Hometown Pharmacy.
The other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Are you okay?
Is that, yes,
your, is that
decided,
your back rattling?
I've decided this. No, it was my headphones.
Oh, okay.
If my back made that kind of noise, I'd be at the chiropractor.
Okay.
Okay. Good morning, gentlemen. As I'm certain that you are aware, marijuana is now legal in Canada. With that in mind, I think the illiterate-in-chief should round up another $5 billion or so and construct a wall on the northern border. Makes almost as much sense. Here's a little info for you. Trump's wall is a monument to his wonderfulness and his opinion. I can defeat that wall by building a trebuchet, catapult, or with a strong arm. We need to get federal employees back to work, period. And another writer says, good morning. Our great President Trump now has told California they will not get any more money for disasters if they don't rake their forests. Get real. They are getting federal help they need from us Democrats. Nothing like scaring the public to try and get your way. And that's signed by Bob. But Bob, his point was that they're spending billions of dollars, millions and billions, perhaps, in federal funds to help California, and some of these fires are preventable by doing certain conservation measures that apparently are not that highly debated. I mean, isn't it pretty standard? You have, what do you call them? Not preventative fires. There's a word for them. You familiar with that?
Oh, backfires? Well,
backfires stop them, but I mean, they're selective fires. They use them like pruning, I guess, to weed out the bad parts of forest.
Prophylactics. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Prophylactic fires.
Prophylactic fires. Okay. Well,
I'm making that up.
I don't know if there's any.
Don't spread that around.
Okay. Well, I'm not certain that that's exactly, you know, what the name is, but apparently there is some debate about that.
It's not the name.
Not the name. All right. Well, you made that up.
I just wanted you to say prophylactic on the air.
Well, you said it on the air first. Dick says, I find it somewhat amusing, but more sad, a directive to Coast Guard personnel pertaining to the shutdown, as they are not being paid but working and serving, as part of the thoughts of surviving financially, have a garage sale.
Who said that?
Well, they did. They suggested things like have
the
a
president.
Garage sale, walk dogs. No, apparently the Coast Guard sent that out to some of their people. There was another last sentence to that email,
I'm
but
sorry.
It's now gone.
It's gone for
okay,
good.
Okay, well, there you go.
Hold on.
Just so we get them all
there
in.
There you go.
What have we become as a country?
Oh, well, that was important. I'm glad we went back for that.
And Dave on the Hill says, I'm not sure what's happening here. Are these drugs that are legally prescribed by a doctor or something somebody is cooking up in their basement? I know there was a doctor in the lower end of the county handing out thousands of prescriptions every year for opioids. I don't know if they were then trafficked to other people or not. Good question.
Here we had Dr. Kranek, who was arrested in Shamokin, and now a medical marijuana place is going in his office. Believe it or don't.
Well, people are used to that address, I guess. And we have a call. Are you all right?
I'm opening up the phone. Rick, you're on the mark.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here, and I'd say that shouldn't we really just have a new human right that it's a human right for a human being to go wherever he wants to go?
Anytime.
That there really shouldn't be any borders. Just legalize all the drugs. That'll take care of all the drug nastiness. And then just let the human beings go wherever they want to go. What's the big deal?
Are you an anarchist by any chance?
No. I'm just a free thinker.
Okay. Well, don't you think that would create more problems than it would solve, Rick?
No, I think that'd be great. I think, you know, all drugs being legal, what's the use of having an illegal drug? The people that are going to do drugs are going to do them, whether they get them legally or illegally. So just have a drug shop. They go get their drugs and go get high. What's the real big deal?
Well, that would
they don't
be...
have to rob nobody then. Well, they could even have a charge account.
We've tried freedom in this country, and it doesn't work.
Well, we've also tried banning things, and it didn't work. Yeah.
Works great in Portugal. And the open borders works great in Europe.
Well, not exactly.
Go wherever you want to go. I think the UN's going to come up with that, that it is a human right for a human being to go wherever he wants to go. And if you think about that, that's true.
But, all right, so we have a prisoner in jail for committing murder. He wants to go out. He has an absolute right to leave.
No, that's murder. Drugs.
But it's breaking laws that get you into jail. And if a law says you can't go somewhere and you break that law, you go to jail.
Well, we're talking borders, aren't we?
Well, we're talking laws. I know we're talking laws.
The people from Mexico or Canada or the United States, or, hey, I want to go to Mexico. The weather is nice down there.
But you're saying it's an absolute right. But, you know, that's like saying driving is an absolute
right.
All right, is driving a
human
right?
To go wherever he wants to go.
Is driving?
Who are you to say I can't go somewhere?
Rick, is driving a human right?
No, but if I want to walk to wherever I want to go, that's a privilege.
Oh.
Driving is a privilege.
Okay. But
you know, I have to pay an exorbitant amount to be able to drive my vehicle. But I don't have to really pay anything to walk.
Right. New pair of shoes.
Yeah, you got to buy shoes.
The idea of free and open borders, do away with all the border stuff. Go ahead, let them come on in. Come on in. Because I think there'll be as many people leaving as there are coming, too. It's not just a one-way thing. Because the United States won't be the United States anymore.
Well, that's for sure. No country will be what it is.
We won't be the shining star on the hill no more.
We'll be the new Central America.
So where it will be is somewhere else. My right to go somewhere else.
We'll just be North America.
I kind of like that open border stuff.
Well, all right. We got you. Thank you, sir.
I don't think it's going to work, but thanks for your idea, Rick. Take care.
Well,
I'm sorry. Rick wasn't done.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Okay. Let's see. One of our listeners says on the topic of...
Rating from the Social Security. Rating the Social Security Trust Fund was a precedent set in 1968 by another progressive president, Lyndon B. Johnson, to help pay for the Vietnam War. To date, the federal government has borrowed over $2 trillion from Social Security's trust fund to spend on other programs.
No, that's ridiculous. Well, they borrow from every program.
But they shouldn't be doing that. We should be fiscally responsible.
What? Washington, you know, that's a good one.
Watching Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer deny $5 billion to the president when the Democrats are more than willing to spend, the Republicans are more than willing to spend, you know, it seems like they're, as you say, this ought to be ripe for some sort of compromise.
All right. Well, they're, you know, as soon as the vortex puts their brains back in, then maybe they'll be able to do that. But until that happens, we're stuck.
Well, I look at it this way. From the standpoint of border security, a wall may well work. We don't know. It's not the only answer. I think if President Trump continues to claim that it is, he's wrong. But, you know, it's certainly an answer to border security.
Better than doing nothing, in other words?
I think so. You know, and if it works, fine. If it doesn't work, then I think I agree with our earlier caller, put the president's feet to the fire. Say, hey, you told us this wall was going to work. It didn't work. You know, we're not going to reelect you, buddy. Seriously, I mean, what would you have us do? I mean, do you believe there is any problem at all on the southern border?
With people coming over?
Right. President's right. These caravans are coming up, you know, and Mexico isn't stopping them. And so we have all these people crossing our borders illegally, and as we've discussed before, it puts a tremendous burden on our tax base, on our services, human services, educational services. That's a loss we can't easily sustain in this country anymore. We're already trillions of dollars in debt.
It's funny, you can go to the Mexico border, and the Border Patrol will take you to an illegal crossing. You know,
right.
It's like, well, if we know where it is, why don't we seal it up? Well, and I said before, I don't mind the idea of certainly beefed up security at the southern and the northern border in the interest of homeland security. You know, we're just one series of over police investigations from another terror attack, and that's how folks get in that want to do these kind of things. Of course, we have domestic terrorists too, so we have to, you know, be vigilant about that sort of thing.
I think if the Democrats were smart, they'd go to the president. What is the one thing they really want to preserve and expand? Obamacare. Why can't they go to the president and say, okay, you don't like Obamacare.
Republicans don't have any ideas.
You don't like Obamacare. No, I'm talking about the Democrats. You don't like Obamacare. We don't like the wall. But you give us some things on Obamacare, we'll give you a few bucks for the wall.
Well, that would be governing.
That would be compromise, right. The art of the compromise. Maybe we'd be better off if Donald Trump had written a book called The Art of the Compromise instead of The Art of the Deal.
Is that a book?
No. Well, somebody may have written
it. Yeah, it may have been, but not Donald Trump's. He wrote The Art of the Deal.
But seriously, I mean, I think there's room here. There are things that need done with Obamacare to make it viable. There are things that need to be done to secure the southern border. It seems to me we have a quid pro quo in the making if they just would get off the politics and start dealing.
And stop pounding on the table and yelling bye-bye as they leave the room during
the
negotiations.
There's some debate about whether or not that happened. Vice President Pence...
Oh, no, he said it in a tweet.
He said he pounded on the table?
Oh, no, the bye-bye. Oh, the pounding on the table is not universally reported?
No, not according to the Republicans who were there.
Oh.
He may have just put his fist down and said, there's nothing to discuss, and then, he pounded on the table and threw a temper tantrum.
And he said bye-bye in a tweet. I'm not sure.
He did say bye-bye. I don't think he walked and said that to them. Sounds a little childish.
Really?
If I say to you,
president.
Bye-bye till next week, Mark.
Not President Trump. Come on. All right. Thank you so much, Joe. Please enjoy your retirement lengthened weekend. Tomorrow we got Ben Reichle in here, and we'll enjoy open phones. Taylor Lightman is probably already in Switzerland, so we won't have him. This is WKOK Sunbury.